Well, none, of course. There's my point, said Ridcully triumphantly. And it's no good one of them on the way down thinking, hey, maybe I should waggle my claws a bit, is it? No. What it ought to do is decide really positively about growing some real wings.
What, in a couple of seconds? While they're plunging towards the rocks?
Best time.
But lemmings don't just turn into birds, sir.
Lucky for them if they could, though, eh? Hmm? There was a roar far off in the little jungle. It sounded rather like a foghorn. Are you sure there aren't any dangerous creatures on this island? Said the dean.
I think I saw some prawns, said the senior wrangler nervously.
No, the Arch-Chancellor was right. It's far too small, said Ponder, trying to dismiss the thought of flying lemmings. It couldn't possibly support anything that could hurt us, sir. After all, what would it eat?
Now they could all hear something crashing through the trees.
Us, said the Dean hesitantly.
A creature blundered out onto the sunset sands. It was large and seemed to be mainly head. One huge reptilian head that looked almost as big as the body below it. It walked on two long hind legs. There was a tail, but given the amount of teeth now showing at the other end, the wizards weren't inclined to take in too much additional detail. The creature sniffed the air and roared again.
Ah, said Ridcully, the solution to the mystery of the disappearing geographer, I suspect. Well done, senior wrangler.
I think I'll just... the Dean began.
Stay still, sir, hissed Ponder. A lot of reptiles can't see you if you don't move. I can assure you, at the speed I intend, nothing is going to see me.
The monster turned its head this way and that and began to lumber forward.
Can't see things that don't move, said the Arch-Chancellor. You mean we just have to wait for it to walk into a tree?
Mrs. Whitlow's still sitting there, said the senior wrangler.
She was, in fact, spreading some runny cheese on a biscuit in a ladylike fashion.
I don't think she's seen it.
Ridcully rolled up his sleeve.
I think a round of fireballs, gentlemen, he said.
Hold on, said Ponder. This may be an endangered species.
So is Mrs. Whitlow.
But do we have the right to wipe out what is...
Absolutely, said Ridcully. If its creator had meant it to survive, he would have given it a fireproof skin. That's your evolution for you, Stibbons.
But perhaps we ought to study it.
The thing was beginning to get up speed now. It was amazing how fast it could move, considering how big it was.
Said
Ponder nervously. Ridcully raised his arm. The creature stopped, jerked into the air, and then went flat, like a rubber ball that had been stepped on. And indeed, when it sprang back into shape, it was with a noise akin to the sound made when a bad conjurer is having trouble twisting the back legs onto the balloon animal. Insofar as it had an expression at all, it looked more astonished than hurt. Little flashes of lightning crackled around it. It went flat again, rolled up into a cylinder, twisted into a range of interesting but probably painful shapes, shrank to a ball the size of a grapefruit, and then, with a final and rather sad little noise that might well have been spelled prap, dropped back onto the sand.
Now that was pretty good, said Ridcully. Which of you fellows did that?
The wizards looked at one another. Not us, said the Dean. It was going to be fireballs all the way. Ridcully nudged Ponder. Go on then, he said. Study it. Ponder looked at the bewildered creature on the sand.
The subject appears to have turned into a large chicken.
Good. Well done, said Ridcully, as if to wrap things up. Shame to waste this fireball, then. He hurled it. It was a road. At least, it was a long, flat piece of desert with wheel ruts in it. Rincewind stared at it. A road. Roads went somewhere. Sooner or later, they went everywhere. And when you got there, you generally found walls, buildings, harbours, boats. And incidentally, a shortage of talking kangaroos. That was practically one of the hallmarks of civilization. It wasn't that he was against anyone saving the world, or whatever subset of it apparently wanted saving. He just felt that it didn't need saving by him. Which way to go? He picked a direction at random and jogged along for a while as the sun came up. After a while, there was a cloud of dust in the dawn, coming closer. Rincewind stood hopefully by the track. What eventually appeared at the inverted apex of the cloud was a cart pulled by a string of horses. The horses were black, so was the cart, and it didn't seem to be slowing down.